Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Well, we see what's been happening in Ukraine over the past few days. Well, it was yesterday really that Zelensky, he got rid of nine cabinet ministers. That's about half his cabinet. This is the biggest reshuffle since the war began in February 2022. So there's a new foreign minister, Andrei Sybiha. He's age 49, was a diplomat. And he's worked in Zelensky's office for some time, but he's not very well known. And it's perhaps surprising because that meant getting rid of Dmytro Kuleba, who was one of the best known foreign ministers, about the only Ukrainian politician that anybody outside Ukraine might have been able to name, better known than the prime minister, for example. So jetting around the world to try and rally support and solidarity for the Ukrainian position. But perhaps Zelensky felt that he underperformed. Not terribly effective then in his visits to various African countries, recent European countries, India, and so on. Is that why he's got rid of? I don't see how Andrei Sybiha will be more effective. So there, some people have also resigned in recent months, usually at a low level. But to begin with, Zelensky said, we've got to keep everybody on post because, you know, it's like Abraham Lincoln in the American Civil War saying, I remember what that old Dutch farmer said, don't change horses midstream. Well, when they're riding across the river on one horse, another horse tied to you, actually, let's go on to the other horse. That's risk. You could fall off into the river and drown. But meaning, the analogy meaning, in the middle of a very difficult situation, you don't want to change leader or change foreign minister or change general or whatever. Whatever this person's failings, it's a very risky thing to change the person. It might get worse. If the person isn't worse, there's a perception it's worse, a perception of failure. Occasionally comes a situation the person is so bad, you do have to get rid of that person. But they thought, well, we can't be faffing around by swapping leaders. We've got to continue with this person, certainly until the immediate danger passed. But anyway, foreign policy is likely to continue on the same track, really trying to bolster support for Ukraine's fight for freedom of the world, to keep the weapons coming, to keep the economic aid coming, to extend sanctions on Russia, and to avoid having to negotiate from a position of weakness. But there are hints, if there's going to be a Harris administration in the United States next year, that even Vice President Harris, as she currently is, would want Ukraine to negotiate. But almost by definition, that means Ukraine wouldn't get everything, wouldn't get all its land back, wouldn't get reparations and so on. Maybe some of its land back, might not get into NATO, might get into the European Union eventually. Of course, it's not up to the United States, it's not in the European Union. Okay, so Zelensky has sometimes cut his foreign minister off at the knees, and Zelensky's often been his own foreign minister, going abroad a lot to fly the flag for Ukraine. And I think some of that was apt, but Kuleba obviously felt a bit put out by that. So the new foreign minister is said to be a good friend of Andrei Yermak, who's the chief of staff. Yeah, and Andrei Yermak, there are rumors that he had disliked Kuleba and they were rowing over various things. There are other potential presidents of Ukraine. Could Petro Poroshenko come back? Remember all these lies on Russian state media in 2019 when Zelensky was elected, that Poroshenko had printed millions of spare ballot papers. He was going to stuff the ballot boxes. None of that ever happened. There was no allegation of bogus voting by his side, that he'd been arrested, that he'd fled the country. He's never been arrested, and he didn't flee the country. He's been in and out of the country a few times in the past few years. And it's true, some of his properties were searched about 2 years after that election. But just lie after lie after lie, anything to undermine confidence in the elections in Ukraine. Now, whoever won, it was going to be an illegitimate result. But could Poroshenko try and come back? Possibly. But I don't see how it'd be seen as more popular. Poroshenko said he never trusted Putin. He didn't believe the Minsk one and two agreements would be abided by. But he simply did it to buy time to beef up the armed forces. The most likely resolution is an untidy compromise, an agreement to disagree, some constructive ambiguity of Russia keeping, officially or unofficially, some of East Ukraine, some of Crimea, maybe not all they got now, because they now occupy something like 15% of Ukraine, reparations probably not paid directly, may pay some tax on Russian exports, Ukraine joining the European Union but not NATO, maybe Ukraine bringing back Russian as a second official language, something like that. Probably no war crimes trial. We'll kick the can down the road. Well, possibly. I mean, if Ukraine is not sufficiently well armed, depends if Putin says this is a victory. Well, we've won. That's good enough. Which you might have to. Part of his military is so trash. He's too old. Is he dead by that stage? Who comes after him? Is Ukraine sufficiently strong? Because in a way, this war has been going on for 10 years already. And the trouble is, Putin, the person who'd shoehorn into office after him, would likely be a man who's of a similar mindset. Okay, so they've got Olha Stefanoshina. She's the new deputy prime minister, but her portfolio is joining the European Union. She's also dealing with justice. So a relatively young person to hold that office as well. So Oleksiy Kuleba, apparently no relation to Dmytro Kuleba, is their deputy prime minister and has got a mammoth task: reconstruction infrastructure, because it's been destroyed all the time and they can scarcely think of rebuilding it when, you know, they're sort of playing catch up. Things are being blown up all the time. Hermann Smetanin is in charge of strategic industries, particularly drones, producing very cheap drones, longer and longer range drones. They're often one way, as in their kamikaze drones. But I think they're sometimes misusing them. Rather than just spook a Moscow airport, just use them in Pokrovsk, you know, close to Pokrovsk, where there are just so many targets. Saving Pokrovsk is the vital thing. Now, if this adventure into Kursk incursion results in Pokrovsk being taken next month, then people say it was a real waste of resources. There are claims of up to 15,000 Ukrainian troops in Pokrovsk. So not Pokrovsk, in Kursk Oblast, which Ukraine can ill afford. And yes, they had some spectacular gains in the early days, but they're not doing very much. They're not moving very far. They're not even menacing Belgorod, should they be there at all? Or should they be trying to turn Russia's flank elsewhere? Some people say that Zelensky largely ignores his cabinet of ministers. He's been downgraded. He's been too presidential. And because of the state of martial law, this gives him extraordinary powers because of the situation. I'm glad you like the shirt with the glasses of wine. So remember, Zelensky's party is Servants of the People, which has just got a majority, but there hasn't been an election for a long time because they've been suspended because of the state of emergency during the war. But really, they can't do that forever. I mean, okay, the United Kingdom went 10 years of that election, the Second World War, and Ukraine would say this is a similar fight for national survival. So we can't be squabbling, and obviously Russia try and hack the election, spread disinformation, cast bogus votes, or even if there was a completely free and fair election, they would claim it was rigged. Do we want them really arguing with each other's throats? But then it might underscore what a free country Ukraine is, and that there are different options. And there would be a peace candidate who said, let's capitulate to Russia. Not totally, but give them a lot of what we want. There might be some hawks as well, say, no negotiations, or Zelensky hasn't been tough enough. But maybe that's what's worth a free society. So Denis Shmyhal is one of the few survivors in this. Prime Minister, he's not been got rid of, and he's still singing Zelensky's tune. So some people think that the president's arrogated too much power to himself. And there was a breach of protocol that he didn't attend the Verkhovna Rada, the parliament, for these votes, which obviously not constitutionally mandated. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. So there are obviously difficulties in Ukraine. You wouldn't do this if you thought the ministers are all performing properly. And it's not that they've usually been moved sideways. They've usually been dumped from the government. There's some more embittered people out there. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate, and PayPal. Goodbye.